Hey, you guys, this is Andrea with From Mrs. to Ms. I'm a little under the weather today, so I'm sounding a little bit more like From Mrs. to Mr., but we're going to get through this today. I have an amazing guest for y'all today. We have Sarah Armstrong here with us. Hello, Sarah. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Andrew. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. So Sarah is a good divorce proponent. She's the author of The Mom's Guide to a Good Divorce, and it's about what to think through when children are involved. Very good. Very good. She's a vice president of global marketing operations at Google. Whoa. And proud mom of Grace, who graduated from high school in 2021 and is in her junior year of college. Sarah unfortunately went through her own divorce, which her daughter categorized as a good divorce. The Mom's Guide to a Good Divorce book offers creative approaches to navigating the pre- and post-divorce process in an effort to help put your divorce in the category of a good divorce. It has a conversational tone from one mom to another, serving bite-sized pieces of guidance to parents who wish to mitigate the negative consequences of divorce on their children and themselves. I love this. I love this. Thank you for joining me. I'm super excited to have you because I myself am divorced and I had a good divorce. So, and it seems to be very rare out there these days. And honestly, people are a little thrown back by it, right?
They are. It's a really, it's an interesting thing when you use the term good divorce, because you and I always like to start, Andrew, before getting into it, that just for the record, I'm actually not an advocate for divorce.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
should say that,
Start
right?
at the
Start
beginning.
with
You know,
that.
in an ideal world, couples that get married, they stay happily married for the long term. You know, that's the goal,
Yeah.
to get married. But unfortunately, it's
Doesn't
not
always happen.
the case. Not always the case, and divorce is more common than ever. And you know, I like to say no one gets married to get divorced,
Absolutely. I
right?
totally agree. That's not the
And
game plan.
no, exactly. And but no one generally gets divorced for positive reasons. There's usually some type of trigger that's caused you to go down that path. Children that are involved in this don't get to make the decision when their parents decide to go down this path, and they're the most significantly impacted.
Absolutely.
And so then when you go back to the concept of a good divorce and the skepticism people have, I don't think there's enough conversation in society about the concept of a good divorce and why, just because you go through the action of divorce, that you can't have a positive experience on the other end, both in terms of your life, your children's life, your relationship with your ex-spouse, depending on the situation. But I do think it's an attainable outcome if you approach it in a certain way.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think that is so true. And, like I said, I have had a very good divorce, and people kind of, they're really shocked by it and surprised by it. And they're like, what do you mean you guys still get along and you're great friends? I mean, you put the children's interests first, is my opinion. And then, you're married to this person for such a long period of time. You loved them at one period of time. Why would you not still love them? Unless there was something, of course, like terrible, right, that happened. But
Yes. Well, and it's interesting when that skepticism comes, it's similar to your experience. I often would say, you know, I know one other couple has a good divorce. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be great if most couples
Right. And we knew the
were?
one couple
Why
that
are we the rarity? You know,
didn't.
and when you think about it, you know, when a couple goes through a divorce and children are involved, the stakes are high. They're really high.
Very
And
high.
we owe it to our children that they're not collateral damage due to the divorce. You know, even
Absolutely.
though we as a couple, you know, have decided to no longer be married and live in the same household and all those things, we made a commitment to our children
Agreed.
when we brought them in this world to raise them in the healthiest, happiest, safest environment possible, right? I joke that, you know, you cover the plugs and you put bike helmets on them and you feed them organic milk. You do all these things, you know, to say that, you know, I'm trying to be the best parent possible for for these children. But then when you go through a divorce, you can put them in a very toxic environment and you can leave them there for months and even years. And the toxicity that can come from a divorce can have long-term impact on children's approach to relationships, their views on marriage, and even their overall happiness in life and their own kind of reflections on themselves as individuals. And that's where I think, you know, when you do go through the divorce process, taking co-parenting responsibly and really thinking about what that means and having the intent of a good divorce and putting your children first, I think is fundamental to doing what's best for your children.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. That's so true. So let's start at the beginning. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you fell into this career path, and what inspired you to write this book. I already looked and read about it on your website, so I know, but I want the audience to hear this.
Great. Well, it's interesting. So we went through a divorce when Grace was 7, which is now 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was first grade. And I was actually, I should start. My parents have been married for 55 years.
Wow. And amazing. So they're still married now.
Married, wonderful, wow. beautiful lifelong partnership.
And love it.
And something, so that's what I watched growing up, this amazing marriage. But yeah. I did have family friends who, my parents' friends, who went through some really ugly divorces. So my mental model of a divorce was a very bitter, ugly situation.
Yeah.
And so when we came to the, or I came to the realization that we would be going down this path, I thought I'd really like to step back and think about how we do this and keep Grace in focus. So, and I was also, I should note, the first of my friends to go through this. So I didn't have anyone else really, you know, model after, I should say.
Yeah.
So as we went down the path, and we got divorced when she was 7. And then over the course of about 5 years, I did have other friends mm-hmm. that go through the process, and they come to me and they say, would you help me think through it because of how you approached your divorce? You had such a good divorce. And I'd say, oh, okay, I'm happy to. So we would sit down generally over a glass or two of wine in my living room and talk through things. And I'd give them these kind of bite-sized pieces of guidance. And over that 5-year period, a number of them said, you should really write this stuff down. And I thought, well, I'm not a writer. I'm in the business world. I have bullet points. I'm not someone who sits and writes. And so I said, oh, maybe someday.
Yeah.
Well, I was at a business dinner in Mexico City with a group of colleagues. And a colleague and friend of mine turned to me and he said, Sarah, you're so happy. And I said, well, yeah. He said, but you're divorced. And I said, Solomon, getting divorced is not a death sentence.
Right, right.
I said, I said, yes, I'm happy. My ex-husband's happy. Grace is happy. I go, we're all happy.
Yeah.
And I said, you can be happy and divorced. Those two things are not, you know, something that can't be connected. And so I mentioned to him that my friends had been encouraging me to write all these things down and write a book. And he goes, you really should. Well, the next morning I got on Delta, you know, mm-hmm. in Mexico City, and I opened my personal laptop. And the first line I wrote was, this book is written by a girl who mm-hmm. never she would get a divorce, mm-hmm. who got a divorce and what she learned along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it over the course of about a year plus, most of it at 30,000 feet, because I traveled actually for my job. And what's interesting is Grace is really she's the one that coined the term a good divorce for me.
Okay.
And what was interesting is we were standing, it was a year after our divorce, she was 8, we're standing at a checkout counter at CVS.
Uh-huh.
A People magazine in the newsstand with a celebrity couple going through some type of divorce. And she looks at me, she goes, Mommy, is that a good divorce or a bad divorce? And I said, Grace, I don't know, what's the difference between a good divorce and a bad divorce? She goes, well, a good divorce is when the mommy and daddy are nice to each other, like you and daddy. And a bad divorce is when they scream and yell at each other.
Wow.
And I said, I go, Grace, you know, hard to tell from a magazine cover.
Yeah.
But I walked out of the CVS that day, Andrea, and I thought, you know what, whatever my ex-husband and I were doing,
yep.
the approach we were taking, the fact that our 8-year-old, a year after we have literally pulled her life apart and have her living across 2 homes,
mm-hmm.
all that comes with that, that she could refer to our divorce as a good divorce. And you were onto something. And that
absolutely.
We doing what we're doing. And so that's what kind of the combination of that phrase that she used and then my friend's encouragement over the years and that dinner in Mexico City all triggered me spending time. And I talk about, this is my giving back. I'm trying to give to women and moms because it's one of the things you're going to go through.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had multiple women actually write into me asking me how to get through the divorce with their kids, like what they talk about, you know, certain things like that, and asked me to talk about, which is why I wanted you on here, because a lot of people don't know how to handle that situation. So I think it's really great because your book really does that. Like it really breaks down each step, right? Yes. Like this is what you should say if you're in this situation, if this is for holidays, what you're going to do, right? And so it gives you a play-by-play, which is, I think, what people really need.
Totally. And that's, you know, when I went through my divorce, I was given books, but they were so dense and thick. And I would open them and I would close. I never read them. I was like, I can't handle that.
Yeah.
wrote this book, I thought, well, the mindset of a mom going through divorce, so many things are coming at you. You know,
right.
There's so many decisions. There's so, so I broke it down into bite-sized pieces and topics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually broken out into preparing for the change, during the change, and post the change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically a page has one topic on it. So it's a topic per page.
Yes.
It could be a paragraph, could be a page. And the nice thing is the table of contents is 185 topics.
I saw that.
Yeah. But then you can just go look at the topic that you need. To your point, it could be about the holidays. It could be about parent-teacher conferences. It could be about how to handle gift giving for your spouse. So it's like, what are those things that you're going to come across? And hopefully it's meant to be very practical guidance.
Yes.
You know, just like, hey, this is what you need to think about. And it's, by the way, it's not meant to be read cover to cover, because wherever you are in your process, it's meant to be picked up and pick those couple topics and then step back and think, okay, what are the decisions I need to make about that topic? What are the discussions you need to have on that topic?
Mm-hmm.
You can put the book aside for until you need it next. And then you pick it up. Okay, what's the next thing? So it's meant to be in that way.
I love that. Yeah, it was totally different than I was expecting. When I got the copy of it, I was like, oh gosh, I got to read this whole thing before I meet with her. And I was like, oh, I love this. It's just giving little topics, something I wish, you know, that I had 7 years ago. We had kind of, I have two kids, they're older now, but we tried to do something very similar and make it very easy. And we actually told my kids we were getting divorced like a week before we went on a trip to Italy as a family, but we wanted them to see we can still be a family after this, you know? So I was like, let's play it that way. And they understood. And I think that helped kind of knowing everything was going to be good. So
absolutely.
I love that. What does a good divorce look like? And why do you think it's so difficult for people to have a good divorce?
You know, a good divorce means a couple put aside their personal feelings for one another, and they really focus on what's best for their children. And I kind of say, you know, full stop. That is what you need to do. Now, that comes with some considerations, because a lot of times you need to take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I say the high road can be very steep.
Very hard to do at times. Yes. Yes. It, very it steep. I love that.
So it can be steep, but taking the high road, every time they take the high road, it is going to be best. It, most likely it's in the best interest of your children, and taking that high road is worth it. So I always say, now, if there's a moment where you don't take the high road, then say, you know what, next time I'm taking the high road. So that's one of the things I feel strongly about. The other is, as individuals, I think we build a compartmentalization muscle. I talk, you know, I do Pilates, so I focus on having a strong core muscle. But compartmentalization muscle is where you think about in the moments when your emotions can be triggered, you know, buttons pushed, said, do you show those emotions at that moment if your children are there? You know, do you need to see all of the emotion that you're feeling at that moment when that button's pushed? Or you say, you know what? I'm going to step back. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm not going to say or express what that moment could lead to. And I'm not saying to internalize those feelings for forever, because that's not healthy.
Right.
But go talk to a friend, go talk to a therapist, go outside for a long walk with yourself, whatever it is. But think about what you expose your children to in those moments, because those are the moments they take with them. And they also, depending on the age of your children, process, you know, the emotion that you've just expressed in a way of what that means in the broader context of the divorce or your relationship with them or with your ex-spouse. So that compartmentalization muscle is, I think, a very important part of the equation as you're going.
Yeah. So I love that. I think that's a really great way of looking at things, for sure. So you've talked on your website about three things that everyone needs to keep in mind when it comes to divorce. What are those three things you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Well, I think the first is the mindset. The mindset, and I mentioned this earlier, the mindset is so essential. And going in with positive intent of you're going to try to do all you can, because again, in a divorce situation, there's two individuals going through this, but then you have your children, but you can only control what you can control, but you can control your mindset.
Yes. Right? So true. Yes.
And I think that's something that sometimes, again, the emotions that I mentioned earlier can ride so high that can impact the mindset that you should probably be going into certain situations with. So I think that is a key part of it. The second, how you think about how you show up for your children and are present with them, but also how you create the space for yourself and you care for yourself through this.
That's huge, huge. Mm-hmm.
Because I think there is an important aspect of the mental, physical, spiritual health of yourself that definitely takes a hit during
yes.
this time, right? And you're not feeling your best self.
Yeah.
But this is also, it can be a marathon to go through a divorce, and you have to keep up your strength. You have to keep up, you know, your resilience. And so I think that combination of being present for your children, being there for them, but giving yourself the self-care.
Yeah. Finding that balance for sure.
Balance is so important.
Yeah.
And I think the third thing with divorce is recognizing that as you go through this, there are going to be so many firsts that you go through.
Good and bad. Good and bad, right? Yeah.
Learning from that. So I had talked about the first year of divorce. Mm-hmm. I say you're recovering from a divorce hangover while still driving hard.
Right? Love it. Yes.
You still have to show up. But in that year of first, as you're, you know, going through them, reflect on what of those firsts you would do again, how you celebrate your children's birthdays, that first vacation, the first holidays, and then say, would I do it again that way next year?
Right.
Okay. Take a moment after you've gone through that first moment of whatever it is and think about, would I do it again? Because again, divorce is a reset in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're resetting life. And some of the traditions that you have had as a family in the pre-divorce phase, it's like, do you want to try to keep those? Can you keep them?
Or do you start new ones and fresh ones?
Exactly. Yeah. And then reflect on what those are. And it can be it's not either or.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It can be a combination of the two.
Sure.
Being conscious about this in that first year is very important. And by the first year, in some respects, is a blur because there's so much. But it's about taking a couple of moments when those situations present themselves and say, would I do it again the same next year or not? And then just kind of file that away so that when it comes around next year, like, oh yeah, I'm not doing it then. Or actually like that. So those are some of the things that I think as you go through a divorce, you know, it's important to think about the mindset, really being present for your children and self-care, and then really reflecting on what you're learning in that first year that helps set, you know, the path for the next year.
Yeah. And do you find, trying to set a balance like that, I would think people tend to overdo it a little bit with the kids, right? You're wanting to make sure that they're so good and everything's perfect. And then you got to be careful not to set yourself up in that way too, right? Because spoiling them where they
And I think, you know, again, raising children across two households those are two different households and there's a lot of dynamics. So one of the interesting things for us, and it was a moment for me, a realization, I'd say, early on in our divorce, where we went to a child specialist before we were going to tell Grace that we're getting divorced. And we sat down with him to get some coaching on this whole process we were about to embark on with her. And he looked at me and said, Sarah, do you travel? And I said, yeah, I travel extensively and internationally for my job. And he said, he looked at my ex-husband and he says, do you travel? And he said, yeah, I travel domestically. Mm-hmm. He said, Grace is about to become a professional traveler.
Mm.
She's going to travel every week for the next 11 years. And she's going to have to pack a bag every week.
Yeah. Interesting.
I burst into tears because I thought, that's not what I want for her life.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, this isn't what I want for her life. So we walked that day and I looked at my ex-husband and said, I don't know what this looks like.
Yeah.
I want to think about that dynamic in Grace's life. I don't want her to feel like a professional traveler.
Yeah.
So now what I'm going to say now, it has some socioeconomic considerations, but what we decided to do is have the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Homes. So I say basic socks, underwear, you know,
okay,
two pairs of running shoes. So that from a logistics standpoint, when Grace walked out of the door to go to school, just had her backpack.
Okay.
She didn't have to pack a bag to go to mom or dad's house that night. And be standing in the carpool line and being the only kid with an extra bag.
Yeah.
She was going to mom or dad's house after school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something that was a conscious decision on our part to do it that way, to handle it that way. But I think it allowed her to feel, quote unquote, as normal as possible, given that she's living across two homes.
Yeah.
Now, I do joke, I don't know how it happens, Andrew, that more socks get at one house versus the other. I'm not sure how it happens.
Just like they get lost in the dryer. I don't know where they go. That's Tupperware lids. Tupperware lids, I don't know.
Exactly. So true. So for, you know, there'd be times when things were out of balance. And so I'd text my ex-husband and say, hey, we need to rebalance. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't for Grace to go into her dresser and look for why she had too many socks. Like I said, she's 7, 8, 9. Why does she have to rebalance her wardrobe?
Right.
That's not her job.
Yeah.
So we would do it. We would figure it out. We'd bring a bag to the other parent and hand it to them. And then we would put the things back in her drawers. Again, okay. Because it's like, hey, Grace, go put your stuff away. It's like, no. Why, again, at age 8, why is she having to do that?
So right.
These are these small micro moments in a child's life, in a child of divorce, where they can either be reminded on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
because they're already reminded because they're living across two homes, but those additional moments, those additional things that you could ask them to do, it's like, why do they have to do that?
Right.
They didn't choose the situation.
Right. I love that. So it's just recreating their home that they're used to, the environment they've grown up in both places. So it's just not this inconsistent feeling every time.
Yeah.
I like that.
And not having to pack the bag.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Not traveling. So my listeners are at all different stages in their lives right now. And so just going back a little, you know, if some are starting out the divorce process, what in your opinion is the best way to approach this topic if someone's truly at that stage, and what can they do to lessen the impact on their home when they're approaching divorce?
Great question. So I think first is really figuring out some of the basics. You know, the divorce process has a lot of details to manage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so figuring out your financial picture.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and getting educated, if you're not as educated as you should be on your financial, because some couples, you know, divvy up responsibilities and the wife, I mean, and by the way, this was my situation. My ex-husband handled the finances and I did other things. So I was not as well-versed on where all of our accounts were. It just wasn't something I was involved in. And so I think making sure you have a clear view of the financial picture, then understanding what type of legal approach you want to take, because there are approaches to divorce. There's a traditional one where you each hire two lawyers and off you go. There's a collaborative divorce process, which has a specific structure to it. There's mediation. So educating yourself on the options.
Yes.
You can think about what's best for your situation.
Yep.
And then I think the parenting plan, which is something that comes regardless of the type of divorce process you go through, understanding all of those decisions that you do need to make for a divorce and having them in view for you. And that's actually part of what I've laid out in the book, is all of those things, because as you're going through a divorce, understand that you have to step back and have a much longer view than you have in normally raising your children.
Yeah.
You need to think about some of those milestones further down than you would otherwise. So I think that's another piece that can feel like a lot, but if you can break it down into those bite-sized pieces, those bite-sized decisions, it's doable to do that and to really be thoughtful about those decisions you're making on behalf of your kids.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the physical environment, I think this is a really important one, because depending on your situation, whether you're staying in the home and your ex-spouse is leaving, or whether you're both going to new homes, having your children feel like their life is not being pulled apart physically.
Yeah.
Is a really important piece. Now, in our instance, I was staying in our house and my ex-husband was going to move. And so, but we were going to divvy up all of our household items.
Yeah.
So as you go through that, I say that when your children are in this environment, it shouldn't feel like if there's a piece of art that was pulled off the wall, that there's just, you know, there's a gaping hole there.
Yeah.
You can't be able to afford to put another piece of art there,
yeah.
but maybe put a mirror or rearrange things so it's not
something
gaping hole.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah.
And there was an instance for us where we had a long hallway of black and white family photos, which was interspersed in my ex-husband and my family. And I realized, you know, I need to give him his photos. So this took a little effort and went and found other photos of Grace and myself and got them reframed. And on a Saturday, I sent her down to a play date down the street. And I took my ex-husband's family photos down, put them in a box, put new photos up, put everything away. Hour later, Grace came home and I'm in the kitchen and I hear this little voice from the hallway go, "Hey, mommy."
Something's different.
"What's that, Grace?" She said, "The wall has changed." And I stopped in my tracks and I said, well, what's changed? She said, there are more pictures up there. There are more pictures of me up there. It looks great. And she ran up to her room. Now, I can tell you, Andrew, that if I had not taken the time to reframe pictures and put them up and then just taken my ex-husband's family photos down and left those little hangers throughout the hallway, Grace would be going to a therapist years later and saying, my parents got a divorce.
Yeah.
And took all the photos of my dad off the wall and left hangers.
Because it represents loss too. I think that emptiness, right? You're seeing that.
Yeah. And it's a physical representation of it. And so now on the flip side of that, Grace had a number of family photos. We like photos. in her bedroom that were of her dad, her aunts and uncle, her grandparents. And those stayed. I mean, those that is her family. So I didn't take them out of home because that's her family.
Applies, yeah.
You know, so I think it's a matter of what you can handle in those kind of physical representations of things. It's also interesting to think about in terms of your kids' environment.
Yeah.
Just being really thoughtful and conscious, because a lot of times the emotion you feel for that person wants you to like wipe them clean out of your life.
Yeah.
It's like still your child's parent.
Yeah.
Still your child's grandparents. So what do you do to respect and honor that in a way that's okay for your children without it feeling like you're having to grit your teeth every time? Yeah. Like, I don't want to look at those photos, but I think that's the thing, you know, really being conscious of how you can allow them to have the environment that they deserve, again, because they didn't choose to be in a divorce situation.
Right, right. So just make it the best you can for them.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hey, you fabulous listeners. It's your host, Andrea, with From Mrs. to Ms., coming at you with something truly exciting. Are you guys ready to boost your energy, elevate your skincare routine, and wear the coolest workout gear around? Then listen up, because Savvy has got you covered. Okay, picture this. You're gearing up for an epic workout, right? You're feeling energized and you're ready to conquer the day. But before you hit the gym or the yoga mat, you need that extra little, you know, kick to get you going. Well, that's where Savvy's Boost Energy drinks come in. They are packed with all natural ingredients, and these drinks will have you feeling like a superhero in no time. I am loving the mango flavor. So let's talk about skincare. We all know how important it is to take care of our skin, especially when we're getting our sweat on. Savvy offers a range of skincare products designed to nourish and protect your skin so you can glow from the inside out. Now let's talk about the good stuff, my favorite stuff, the workout clothes. I'm telling you, I practically live in my Savvy leggings. Not only are they super soft and comfy, but they also give me the support I need during even the toughest workouts. Plus, with styles that rival big name brands like Lululemon, Aloe, and Vuori without the forever chemicals, you'll look and feel amazing every time you hit the gym or head out for a run. And here's the best part, you guys. Savvy is currently having a March Madness sale with a whopping 50% off all clothing. That's right, you heard me, 50% off. They have some amazing stuff. I love my crane leggings. I wasn't sure I'd like them at first. They do have a stirrup on them, but I tried them on and I can't take them off because they're so soft and comfy. Probably the softest ones I've ever worn. But you got to act fast because the sale is not going to last forever and items are starting to move really quick. So what are you waiting for? You guys just click on my link, go to savvy.com/AndreaK. That's SAVVI.com/ANDREAK, or use my referral code Andrea K to score some amazing deals on all your favorite Savvy products. Trust me, you won't regret it. Stay fabulous, stay fit, and stay savvy, my friends.
So during the initial process, what are potential pitfalls divorced couples seem to experience that seem to be the hardest and challenging when trying to have this amicable divorce? What do you think is the hardest thing?
Well, I think one of the things is how you show up in the world. So I say that, you know, if your kids play soccer or in the school play, whatever the case is, a lot of times children of divorce have to look on two sides of the field because their parents won't stand next to each other.
Right? Crazy.
Or one parent won't go to the event because the other parent's there. And you know, is your kids, like, I always joke that like if Grace were to score a goal in soccer, she should be able to look to one side of the field and in one like section at least and see her and say, great job, you know, why do they have to adjust and look at two sides of the field. Or
right.
So I think there's something about thinking about how you show up and how you're there for them. And another example that really struck me when we were going through a divorce, we've been divorced 5 years. Grace was in sixth grade. And at her school, the parent-teacher conferences, the student goes with the parent to the parent-teacher conferences. So the three of us show up, we go to her teacher's office, we sit down. And at the end of this hour-long conversation, the teacher looks at us and says, "Wait a minute, are you two divorced?"
She didn't even know.
And I said, "Oh yeah, we got divorced 5 years ago." She said, "I had no idea."
How great is that?
I said, well, it didn't occur to me to walk in here and say, "Hi, we're here for Grace's parent teacher conference, but we're divorced." Now, can talk about her education?
Yeah.
Said, you know, so, and she said, "You would be surprised how rare it is for couples that are divorced to be able to walk into this office and sit down with their child for an hour and talk about their child's education." She said, "It is very, very rare."
And she said,
"And she said, it makes me so sad."
Yeah.
I said to her, "That makes me so sad, because what's more important for two parents than sitting down and hearing how their child is doing in school?"
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, by the way, Grace is hearing this whole discussion.
Yeah.
That, you know, those are those moments when you talk about the pitfalls, we can be so sucked into the negativity we feel about that individual, lose sight about how we need to show up for our children in their day-to-day lives and in their minds. And we say, "Oh, I can't do that because of that person." Now, I will say, Andrea, there are certain instances where people are not meant to be in the same physical location.
Absolutely.
And I completely recognize that. And I respect that. And that is a different situation than what I'm talking about. But it is a large portion of divorces where what I've just explained shouldn't be the anomaly. It should actually be
totally.
People can show up and be there for their children, for the school play, for the parent teacher conference, for the birthday party, you know, where they're blowing out the candles in their cake, whatever that is. It's like, how do you, you know, set aside those emotions you have for each other and say, what would be best for our kids?
Yeah. And that is probably the question you just need to answer yourself in each situation.
Absolutely.
Is what would be the best for the child in this case?
And then do that. Honestly, it's like, I see it as simple as like, okay. Then it's interesting. Some people say, is that being too, like, to your point, like coddling the child too much? And I said, this isn't about spoiling your children.
Right.
Like, this is not a spoiling thing. This is about raising your children in the healthiest situation of what they deserve, because again, they did not choose to live across two households. They did not choose to have parents that sit in different sides. They just want to be a kid, right?
You know,
you go through life and just have what would be deemed a normal experience.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things, is just being really conscious of what these moments mean to them and how you can feel, make it feel, and I use air quotes for normal, as normal as possible, because there's a new normal.
Yes.
Right.
It's for sure.
Not going to be how it was before, but how can you make it feel as normal as possible for the new way that you're living life?
Yeah, I like it. So, okay. So what about after the divorce? So let's talk about after the divorce, each party is somewhat moved on. What do you think are the three things that should be done post-divorce in order to keep this amicable divorce flame going?
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder to do at that point.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things is how you choose to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Huge.
I think it's so huge. And
because kids are listening too, right? And we tend to forget that. They see, they know, they listen, even though they don't say anything, right?
They hear everything and they register everything. And
yes.
If you don't think they do, you're kidding yourself.
Yes, exactly.
They're playing their video game or they're listening to music. They still have a little ear up for what
they
say to dad or what was that? So they definitely are listening. So I think communication, by the way, how you communicate with your ex-spouse about what I call the logistics of life, because there are a lot of, and I think with the beauty of having, you know, we can text, we can email, you know, whatever the case, like I used to keep a running list of topics on my phone that I would need to talk to my ex-husband about. And when I felt like, okay, because if there was something pressing, obviously I could text him or call him.
Sure.
But if it was little things, I didn't need to be texting him every day if I didn't.
Right.
It's like you've chosen not to be in each other's lives.
Yeah. You can still have your boundaries.
You can have your boundaries. And it's like, and I'd have a list of like, hey, and I text them and say, hey, can we talk for 15 minutes? I just want to run through these things with you.
Yeah.
So it's almost like creating the right structure of how you want to communicate with your ex-spouse and being just thoughtful about it in that instance. Because neither of you are looking for probably constant interaction, but which with it raising children, there can be a lot of the day-to-day logistics you start having to go back.
Right, right.
So it's how do you structure it in that way? So I think communication is key. Excuse me. I think the other thing that can be an interesting dynamic is how you approach those special moments that the other parent is supposed to be recognized. And I say this because Mother's Days and Father's Days.
Oh, yeah.
Holidays. What do you do for gift giving? Mm. When your child is 7 or 8 or 9 and they're supposed to give a gift to that other parent, are you helping your child go get that gift?
Yeah.
Are you sending a friend or a nanny or a family member? But thinking about these moments when your child wants to do the right thing and be thoughtful, but they might be hesitant to say, hey, mom, I need to get a Father's Day gift for dad. Mm-hmm. And well, that's not my problem anymore.
Right, right.
But you know what? Your child deserves to be helped in those moments. And
right.
So thinking about these, and again, there are situations that happen throughout the year, but kind of looking ahead and thinking about how you want to handle those. So it's not a stressful moment.
Yeah.
You know, because it can be very stressful. It's all of a sudden like, I don't have anything. I didn't make a card, or I don't end.
Yeah.
And your kids feel worse.
Yeah.
Because they also don't feel like they can ask you.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it is kind of a preparation thing too. And just making sure you plan ahead and you know what's coming, right?
Yeah. And you're looking ahead to those moments and thinking, how am I going to help my child in that moment? Again, less about you, I guess.
Yes.
Right. Setting what we think we need aside, because I do think it's sometimes hard.
Yeah.
And I think the third thing post-divorce, and I mentioned it earlier, is the taking the high road, the combination of taking the high road and the compartmentalization muscle and those two, because there are going to be moments when your buttons are pushed.
Yes.
Like that is a
hence given. The reason for the divorce, I'm sure.
Exactly. That is a given. Yeah. So really stepping back and thinking about those moments and being thoughtful about them, I think is fundamental. Because, and by the way, there can be times when your button's pushed and you do react. And then if you do, and you don't like how that happened or how it played out, acknowledge it to your children and say, hey, mom didn't really handle that the way that I would like to.
I like
and
that.
Just almost owning it and then saying, I'm going to try to do better next time. So one of the sayings I used to say to Grace is, mom's doing the best I can.
Yeah. Because you were.
Right? It's like some days it was good and some days I want to do that better. So I think that's being open about this. We're all works in progress as people, but how we approach those moments and being conscious of whether we handled it the best we could.
Yeah.
And when our children are in view of that moment and we don't think we've handled it the best we could, trying to acknowledge it and then say, you know, we're going to handle that differently next time.
Yeah. You made me think a little bit about how it works, you know, when each person gets a new partner, spouse, and the dynamic of that now and what that looks like. Can you touch on that a little bit and how to kind of keep that in a good, amicable way?
Yeah, I think it's important to, again, your child is going to end up having relationships with other people in their lives.
Yeah.
That you may not, you're not going to have a say on that. And you're not going to maybe have the relationship with that person, but they're going to have an influence in your child. So I think, again, keeping your commentary about the person to yourself.
Yeah. It's hard as it may be to do.
You know what? Your child is going to have to go interact with that person.
Yes.
I think allowing them to make their own judgment of that individual and establish whatever relationship that's going to look like that you're not a part of.
Right.
The fact that that's the case.
Yeah.
Is very important and very, you know, and it can be very hard to do because you want to influence how they think or, you know, ooh, you know, it's like, you know what, again, taking the high road and saying, you know what, not my place. That's it's my ex-spouse's girlfriend, ex-spouse's boyfriend, whatever. That's who they're going to be with. And my child is going to interact with them. And I want to have the best, if they're with them, then I hope they're having the best experience possible while they're with them.
Right. Right. You
know, versus putting negativity in their head where and all the child's thinking was, mom really doesn't like this person. Mom said this. It's like, you know, don't be that person on their shoulder, putting, you know,
on
their ears. It's already complicated enough for your kids.
Yeah. Agreed.
And be there and be as engaged with that other person and that other aspect of your life that you're not a part of as they.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on divorcees like hooking up or getting back together after the divorce is final? I mean, is that usually just a comfort thing? Does it give a healthy balance in the relationship? I mean, how does that affect the child too?
Yeah. I think you just have to be very conscious of when you introduce people into child's life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just, those are
or yourself back in.
Absolutely. And so it's like really just being conscious of when you're ready for that. And then what expose your children to in terms of the people you're bringing in or out.
Yes.
And I think that's it. You know, those, again, those are all choices.
Yeah. But
your children are also watching.
Yeah.
Understanding what relationships start to look like in this next phase based on how you approach it.
Yeah. So, and it can be very confusing for the child too, I think. So just be really cognizant of that. Right. Absolutely. So you mentioned that the pandemic has kind of left its mark on the modern family due to what you call the unintended consequences of too much togetherness.
Yes.
So tell us more about that and why you think it's different now.
Well, I just think, you know, for those years that we all went through as a society, we spent a lot more time together.
way more than anybody thought we would.
Way more. And actually, I call it the great reevaluation period. You know, people evaluated where they were living, how they were living, where they were how they were working, who they were with.
Tested a lot.
And so I think that unintended consequence is a lot of evaluation of life.
Yeah.
And I think there were couples that looked around and said, I'm not sure this is what I'm wanting in this, if you were to really evaluate where life is. And so I think we're coming out of that, obviously, now in a post-pandemic era. But I do think it was a moment of deep reflection for many couples and many
families. I do too.
And, you know, at the end of the day, and this, I talk about this, you know, going through divorce, as we talked about earlier, has such a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. I would, and it can have a bit of a scarlet letter, Andrea. Like people feel like they're carrying, you know, this failure, this like, oh, and
totally.
And we still, in fairness, I think, still puts that scarlet letter on those of us that have chosen or needed to go through this process. And I think that's unfortunate. Because, you know, I say this in a bit of a joking way. You know, I went to the dentist recently and I had to fill out the form and it asked me for my status and asked if I'm divorced. And why does it matter?
I thought the same thing, Sarah. Who cares?
I know, you're cleaning my teeth. Why does it matter what my marital status is? So I think those are those, again, micro moments in your life when you have this moment, you're like, oh, okay. And
you check a different box now.
And you have to put yourself in this category.
Yeah.
And I do think that post-divorce and how society looks at it is something that I would love to see shift, because we're going to go through this. Mm-hmm. It does not, divorce does not need to be a negative cloud that follows you and your children and even your ex-spouse through their lives. It doesn't need to be. It is an action. Mm-hmm. You get divorced, right?
Yes, yes.
But it does not need to have a negative impact on the rest of your life.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that, because I want the audience and the listeners to feel at ease with that, because I think a lot of them are struggling with that. I struggled with it, you know, going through the process, but at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And it is what it is, right?
Yes, so what it is. And you know what, by the way, you're going through divorce, so you can be happier.
Yes, absolutely. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. That's the whole point of it. It's not to say that you're now going to have to be negative and unhappy for the rest of your life. It's to turn a new page. It's to have a new path.
Yes.
And I think though that it's interesting. I had someone recently tell me that I make divorce look too good.
Oh.
And I thought, and I thought, I'm just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just setting out to have a really happy, fulfilled life. And if the fact that I'm divorced and I'm happy and that makes divorce look too good, I'm not even sure what to say to them.
Right. You're doing something right in my book. You're right.
But that's a little bit, because it's like, but you're not, almost the counter to that is, well, you're not supposed to look happy and be happy.
Ugh.
Right.
I mean, happy.
Exactly. You make this change to go on a happier path.
Yeah. And that is what a lot of people, you have to really think about, is where do I see myself 20, 30, 40 years from now? If I see myself sitting in the same spot I'm in right now, that is just, I am negative and I'm unhappy and I'm all these things, then do something about it. Again, not being an advocate for divorce, but being an advocate for putting you first sometimes, right? Yeah. And making those extra steps to do something about it. So
And then realizing, you know, it's going to take effort.
Yep. Yes, and it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Not going to be easy. It is a huge life change, but yep. There is a way to reestablish what that new normal divorce looks like and set up a new way of living, a new structure for your life, for you and your kids.
Yeah.
And know that, again, we talked about that year first, which can be tough.
Yeah.
But here it gets easier.
It does.
Here it's like, oh, and then you look back and I can't believe we've been, you know, divorced 14 years. But the good news is I look at the approach we took in raising Grace, and I can say that if she were to kind of lay out and talk about her childhood, the focus on like, oh, well, my parents are divorced, and it's not going to be the front and center.
It's huge. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And
that's the goal.
And you have people that say, no, my parents got divorced and it defined everything for me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I hope that people can look at how they're living that post-divorce era, because it's meant to be a more positive phase of life than the prior eras, which is why you made the change in the first place.
Absolutely. So what would be some final words of wisdom that you could give the listeners just on how to proceed, how to tread lightly through all of this?
What I would say is take the time you need to think through the details, mm-hmm. because it's fun and it can be very overwhelming. And that's why I think breaking them down into bite-sized pieces and not feeling like you have to figure out everything in one fell swoop.
Yes.
Also, it is a bit of a project. And I say that, Andrew, because divorce can sometimes be drawn out longer than I think it needs to be.
Uh-huh. For many reasons. Yeah.
Right. But if you can break it down and even say to your attorney that you might be engaging, look, I want to go through this in as efficient a process as possible, because drawing it out is not to the benefit of anyone.
Yeah.
I think just then taking each of those bite-sized pieces and thinking about it, and then, you know, tackling the next one, mm-hmm. and knowing that you will get through the process. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, if you approach it with a certain mindset, if you keep your kids front and center,
mm-hmm.
and you do focus on making sure you are staying as healthy as possible through the process, there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And I do think that a good divorce is an attainable outcome for those that approach it in a certain way.
Well, there's two people right here who have done exactly that. I'm on board with you about a good divorce. I think that's absolutely the way to go. And you loved that person at one point for a reason.
Absolutely.
It's huge. That is so awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me about all of that stuff. I think it's great information, and I hope everybody really takes that to heart. It's not going to be easy for everybody, like we said.
No.
But even if they take little bits and pieces of that work it in.
And that's the thing. And that's where, and I should mention, my book is available in paperback,
mm-hmm.
ebook, iBook, Kindle, Nook, all those. And then also I went in the studio and did an Audible version.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And that was because I know that, you know, with where we are in life, and you might not want the book on your bedside table.
Yes.
But you could listen to it on a walk, or could listen on your iPad or on your phone. And so I think that's another thing, is just knowing that it's there for you when you need it.
Yes.
Is an important
part. Oh, good.
Yeah. I actually had a woman, I will tell quick, after I launched my book, I was in the produce section at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
This woman stopped me and she said, "Are you Sarah Armstrong, the author?" And I was like, Yeah, I guess I am. And she said, "Well, I was at your book signing at Barnes & Noble."
Uh-huh.
And I said, she goes, "I'm going through divorce." And I'm so sorry to hear it. She said, "Yes." But she goes, "But I bought your book and I carry it with me everywhere and it keeps me calm."
Oh, how great is that?
And she said, "Thank you for writing this book." And I said, "Thank you for sharing that with me." And she walked away, Andrew, and I'm standing in the middle of the produce section. And I thought, this is why I've written this book.
Yeah.
It's to help a woman I don't know.
Yeah.
Going through one of the toughest periods of her life, potentially. Mm-hmm. And it's keeping her calm, the book.
Yeah.
So I share that because it's meant to be that kind of, you know, the companion piece for you as you're going through this.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that companion piece. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So before you go, I'd like to play a little game with you. We do this.
Yeah.
Okay. It's from Mrs. Smith's little fast facts, this or that. I'm just going to give you 10 little questions, this or that. And you just say whichever one comes to mind first. Okay. Number one, a home cooked dinner or a romantic restaurant date?
Romantic restaurant date.
I like that too. A movie night in or a night out on the town?
Oof. I'm probably a night out on the town.
Yeah. You like dancing, you like going and doing that. So.
Yeah,
so fun. A one night stand with someone you've crushed on, or a relationship with someone you're just okay about.
One night stand.
The amount of people that have said they'd have a one night stand. I love it. I would too. I would too. Future plans or present moments?
Present moments.
Early morning hike or a lazy Sunday morning in bed?
Lazy Sunday morning in bed.
Yeah. Love notes or surprise gifts?
Love notes.
I think those are so cute. When you leave like a little something on the pillow or something like that. Very sweet. Intimate conversation or fun, playful banter?
Fun, playful banter.
Spontaneous or planned intimacy?
Oh, spontaneous.
Yeah, right. Physical touch or verbal affirmations?
I would
say. There's a lot of hesitation there. You're like,
I would say both, but physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last one, whispered sweet nothings or bold declarations of desire?
Whispered sweet nothings.
Sweet. Yes, I love that. Thanks for doing that. That's fun. I always get a different feel about somebody, dig a little. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much again for coming. So I just want to remind everybody, the book is called The Mom's Guide to a Good Divorce, What to Think Through When Children Are Involved. Let everybody know once again where they can find this book, and then give us your social media stuff so they can find you.
Right. Yes. So you can, my website is www.gooddivorce.guide.
Okay. And
it has all my link, all my contact information, all my social media links, et cetera. There's an email to contact me, and it has just all the things. And then the book itself is on Amazon.
Perfect.
And Barnes and Noble and all those great spots, and is available in three formats, as I mentioned.
Wonderful.
And, and I'm hoping those that need it, that it can help as many people as possible during this challenge.
Yeah, it's a really great book. It's a really great book, Sarah, and different than I thought it was going to be. So I love that there's a step-by-step. When I opened it and I was like, right in the beginning, the table of contents, I was like, oh, this is a lot of chapters. But then I understood what you were doing there. It's kind of like what was that called? A glossary or something, in books that you can find exactly what you need in that moment. It may not be just like read it right through, just a moment of something.
And you can jump around, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to read it sequentially.
Yes. So it's perfect. I highly recommend you guys go and get this book right away. So it's really, really good. So thank you once again for joining me, putting up with my a little bit under the weather. I'm trying to stay with my voice.
Great. I'm a little froggy to it myself. So I totally.
Yes. Absolutely. And thank you guys once again for joining me. You can find me at info@frommrs.net if you want to email me with any questions, concerns, suggestions. And you can find me on social media at from.mrs.2.ms. And we will talk to you guys next week. Have a great one. Bye.